进入了，神的眼睛就是这样，人的这个转变的。我从那个模式
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोधानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रज्ञाचार्य अष्ट प्रसद श्री श्रीमदभय चरणारविंद श्रील श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन बीपीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रज्ञाचार्य अष्ट प्रसद श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की श्री वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की श्री मायापुर जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर टू वर्स 28 एंड 29 वासुदेव परा वेदा वासुदेव परामखा वासुदेव परा योगा वासुदेव परा क्रिया वासुदेव परम ज्ञानम वासुदेव परम प्रपह वासुदेव परो धर्मो वासुदेव परागति वासुदेव परा वेदा वासुदेव परामखा वासुदेव परा योगा वासुदेव परा क्रिया वासुदेव परा वेदा वासुदेव परामखः वासुदेव परा योगा वासुदेव परा क्रिया
Thank you.
translation. In the revealed scriptures, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifices is to please Him. Yoga is for realizing Him. All the fruitive knowledge and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. Religion, that is dharma, is rendering loving service unto Him. He is the supreme goal of life. Continuing the purport from where we left yesterday, the same applies to all kind of austerities. Tapasya means voluntary acceptance of bodily pains to achieve some higher end of life. Ravana and Hiranyakashipu underwent severe bodily torture to achieve the end of sense gratification. Sometimes modern politicians also undergo severe type of austerities to achieve some political end. This is not actually tapasya. We should not accept voluntary bodily inconvenience for the sake. We should accept voluntary bodily inconvenience for the sake of knowing Vasudeva, because this is the way of real austerities. Otherwise, all forms of austerities are classified as mode of passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance cannot end the miseries of life. Only the mode of goodness can mitigate threefold miseries of life. Vasudeva and Devaki, the so-called mother and father of Lord Krishna, underwent penances to get Vasudeva as their son. Lord Sri Krishna is the father of all living beings. Therefore, He is the original living being of all other living beings. He is original eternal servitor amongst all the enjoyers. Therefore, no one can be His begetting father. No one can be His begetting father, as the ignorant may think. Lord Sri Krishna agreed to become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki upon being pleased with their severe austerities. Therefore, if any austerities have to be done, they must be done to achieve the end of knowledge, was Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. As explained before, the original personality of Godhead expands Himself by innumerable forms. Such expansions of forms is made possible by His various energies. His energies are also multifarious, and His internal energies are superior and external energies inferior in quality. They are explained in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4 and 6. As a para and a para prakritis. So His expansions of various forms, which takes place via internal energies, are superior forms, whereas expansions take place via the external energies are inferior forms. Living entities are also His expansions. Living entities who are expanded by His internal potency are eternally liberated persons, whereas those who are expanded in terms of material energies are eternally conditioned souls. Therefore, all culture of knowledge, austerities, sacrifice and activities should be aimed at changing the quality and quality of the influence that is acting upon us. For present, we are controlled by the external energy of the Lord. And just to change the quality of influence, we must endure to cultivate spiritual energy. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are Mahatmas, or those whose minds are so broad-minded as to be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, are under the influence of internal potency. The effect of such broad-minded living beings are constantly And the effect is that such broad-minded living beings are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord without deviation. That should be the aim of life. That is the verdict of all Vedic scriptures. No one should bother himself with fruitive activities or dry speculation about transcendental knowledge. Everyone should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Nor should one worship different demigods who work as different hands of the Lord for creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world. There are innumerable powerful demigods who look over the external management of the material world. they are all different assisting hands of Lord Vasudeva. Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are included in the list of demigods, but Lord Vishnu or Vasudev is always transcendentally situated. Even though he accepts the quality of goodness in material world, he is still transcendental to the material modes. The following example will clear the matter more explicitly. In prison house, there are prisoners and managers of prison house. Both managers and prison house are bound by the law of the king. But even though king sometimes comes to the prison, he is not bound by the laws of the prison house. King is therefore always transcendental to the laws of prison house, as the Lord is always transcendental to the laws of material world. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtham Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Pinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, last time when I gave the class in month of March on Savai Vanpunsa Paro Dharmo, I literally split each word, broke each word of the verse and spoke. Therefore this time I was not allotted any verse only, so that I don't break any verse. Directly only purport, so that no Bhagavatam is not damaged because of and already Leela Shuk Prabhu has spoken yesterday so nicely on this verse, all his naval realization. So I don't know what novel I will speak about this. So first time when I read this verse, Vasudeva Para Veda, and last time the verse was Sarva Dharma, Savai Punsa Paro Dharma. So I was trying to use my own grey matter and trying to relate the same verse here, Savai, Vansa, Grodh, Paro Dharma. Paro means above, the highest religion is Paro Dharma. And so I thought Vasudeva Paraveda, he is beyond Vedas, he is beyond yoga, he is beyond. So I was trying to use my own knowledge to, you know, translate this. And when I read the translation of Srila Prabhupada, so this time he uses this, that this is the ultimate goal of Veda, this is the ultimate goal of yoga. And I was so excited how Srila Prabhupada so nicely, you know, he has understood that how this has to be translated. So same word at different places, Srila Prabhupada translates in a different way. So this verse gives a hope. See, once we say, if we say that Vasudeva Para Yoga, it is beyond yoga, it is beyond Vedas. So all the jnanis, all the yogis, they may get depressed that, okay, we are doing yoga, but then if at the end of yoga we are not able to achieve Lord Krishna. So this verse gives hope to the jnanis, to the yogis, even those who do yajna. You know, in this verse, it is also said that he is the end of all the sacrifices. So giving hope to everyone, even to the hatha yogis, it says that the end of austerities is Lord Krishna, end of yoga is Lord Krishna, end of yajna is Lord Krishna. So, you know, this is how beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is, because it is giving hope to everyone. It is not just saying that, okay, you are a yogi, so you cannot achieve Krishna. You are after jnan. You know, some people have a natural inclination to be a jnani. They just want to read scriptures. And then if we go and tell them that, no, jnan, by jnan you cannot achieve Krishna. This verse gives hope to them also, that at end of jnan, there is Lord Krishna. Even those who are doing austerities, you know, some people, they have a tendency to do austerities. And if we tell them that by austerities you cannot achieve Krishna, this hope is giving words to them also, that at the end of all austerities is Lord Krishna. So very hope-giving words for all the spiritual practitioners. Because all spiritual practitioners are all, they are not same. You know, we all are in the same sampradaya. We are all in the same temple, but all of us are so different from each other. Everybody has different taste for doing different things, right? Somebody likes to hear, somebody likes to chant, somebody likes to do sankirtan on the streets. And all of us have different tastes. Somebody says that, no, for me, I just love to worship the deities. Somebody says, I just want to be in the library and I just want to read. And there are some who say that I like to do yoga also. So this verse is telling all of us that whatever you do, remember that end point should be Lord Krishna. The end point should be Lord Krishna. So even when you are doing yoga, you know, sometimes many of us do yoga, but we tend to forget that, you know, at the end I am doing all this so that my body is to be kept fit and so that I achieve Krishna. So I'll start with the sentence from where the purport was allotted to me. The same applies to all kinds of austerities. Actually, when we came to Krishna consciousness, nobody uttered the word austerity to us. Only thing we were told, that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Another thing they told us, that eat prasad and dance. That's the only thing we have to do. And then after some years, when that happiness went away, We came back to our Patha Pradarshak Guru and we told him that you told us chant Hare Krishna, be happy. I was happy. You told us eat prasad and I was dancing so nicely. But now I am chanting and I am not happy. That happens to most of them. Then they say, ki chant unoffensively and become happy. I said, ye to pehle bola nahi tha apne kaise. Firstly, they told us that chant anyhow, anytime. Then that same Pratapradarshak Guru says, get up in the morning and chant. You know, and you know, then all those things, chanting seminar comes in our life. Chant as if this is the last day of our life. Day one, we never tell anyone, chant as if this is the last day. Oh, my first day temple mein. Why you are telling me that chant as if this is last? The thing with brahmacharis is he leaves his parents and comes to the temple. And then when he comes to the temple, he is told that now chant like a lost child who is lost from his parents. Well, hare, abhi to main unko sab chhodke aaya voluntarily. No, but you have to chant like the way a child is lost in the faith. So, why this analogy is given of a child lost in a fair? Because when a child is lost in a fair, I don't know whether you have come across such a child. He's crying with his mother's name, mama, mama, papa, or I, what. And then, you know, somebody gets a lollipop, somebody gets a toy, and somebody is trying to search his father, mother, here and there. But he doesn't get nothing. He cannot compromise on a toy. He cannot compromise on a lollipop. He cannot compromise on anything. He says, I just want my father and mother. And that's what we are supposed to chant. So now the question comes that did our Pathapradarshak Guru cheat us? You know, that he initially told us that chant and be happy, and now he has started telling us chant unoffensively, chant in the morning, chant like a last day, chant like a lost child. No. There are two types of cheating that are done. One is cheating for good and one is cheating for bad. Cheating for bad is like the false promise of happiness which is given to us by the material world. There also we get cheated, right? Maya also does the same thing with us. But that is cheating for bad. She tells, come to me and you'll be happy, and rather we suffer. Krishna also says, or Krishna conscious devotees also tell us, come to me and you'll be happy. And we come there and sometimes we may not experience happiness. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, that is because we are not able to follow the process. Problem is not in the process. Problem is we are not able to follow the process, and that's why we are not becoming happy. You know, we all, somewhere in the heart, we all keep a hope that I will get some happiness someday, somewhere. So that hope of material happiness, which people preserve in the heart, rather we hold on to that. You know, I'll get some opportunity to enjoy, something like that. And that prevents us from wholeheartedly surrendering to Krishna. Krishna consciousness is very easy if we surrender fully. Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam. But that is not happening. That full surrender is not happening. Tapasya means voluntary acceptance of bodily pains to achieve the higher end of life. That's what the next line says. So now question is, what austerity we have to do in Krishna consciousness? We in Krishna consciousness were told that chant and be happy, and then this word austerity came in after some time. Austerity is very minor. It is during chanting. We do it attentively. We hear. Now, austerity of tolerating devotees. Austerity of becoming conscious of Krishna, of every time we do anything. Ravana and Hiranyakashipu underwent severe bodily torture to achieve the end of sense gratification. Now, these two examples Srila Prabhupada is quoting in the purport, Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, and we as Krishna conscious preachers should always be alert that these two demons, you know, Srila Prabhupada again and again many times keeps on talking about that. Now when we look at hear about Ravan and Hiranyakashipu. Ravan was such a lusty fellow, and we always keep on speaking about him. And Hiranyakashipu was such an egoistic person. But how do we apply this in our Krishna consciousness movement? As preacher, how do I look at it? That we should never become Hiranyakashipu. How a preacher can avoid becoming Hiranyakashipu? He should not think that I am one of the best preachers, I give so nice lecture, I am so good at management. So when we start feeling that I am good at this, I am good at that, I am better than others, give it to me, I will handle it nicely. Ye sabse favorite line rehta hai hamara ki usse handle nahi ho raha, mere ko do, main handle karta. So somewhere that Hiranyakashipu mentality creeps in. And we all nowadays see about those many those false spiritual gurus. You know, one matter that comes up in them is that you know they abused females and all. So as Krishna conscious preachers, we have to take that. We never take advantage of anyone who has come to the shelter of Krishna. Okay, so we have to see to it that they are offered to Krishna and we don't enjoy them. Sometimes modern politicians also undergo severe austerities to achieve the political end. This is not actual tapasya. We all hear about those, somebody's fasting for 2 days, 3 days, and then at the end they have those fruit juice. We had our acharyas in the Srimad Bhagavatam who have done this, like Rantidev. You know, he did those austerities, and Srila Prabhupada writes about King Rantidev that he would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of providence, but when guests came, he would give everything. And when he was about to break his fast, you know, there was a Brahmana who came, and Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Lord everywhere, in all living entity, and that's how he received the guest. So every time we do this guest reception, anybody who is coming to the temple, throughout, you know, till the point that person comes in and then he goes out of the temple and we are doing his reception, we have to maintain this mood that we perceive the presence of the Supreme Lord everywhere and in every living entity, and in that mood, he received the guest. So that is the mood we received the guest. We should not try to impress upon the guest. We should not try to show the guest that how good I am in guest reception. You know, we have to see the Lord in each living entity. That's what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. Okay? And then Srila Prabhupada also writes that he saw the Lord in everyone. That does not mean that everyone is Supreme Lord. In general, people have a very tendency to declare anybody as God. They sentimentally say that he is God, that is God. Srila Prabhupada was against that. And then a Shudra came. And seeing the Shudra in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Rantidev gave him also his share of food. He never distinguished between a Brahmana and a Shudra, the poor and the rich. So I'm just taking this incident of Rantidev towards our guest, how to receive people. So we should never distinguish, of course, between a poor person coming to the temple and a rich person coming to the temple. Of course, there are many people who come, they donate, and we have to treat them with dignity. That there is no doubt about that. But in that whole process of doing that, we should not ignore a poor person sitting in the corner also. So we should make a habit to go to him also and ask that, how are you? You know, he will feel so nice when somebody goes and asks, you know, I am the part of the temple now for last 20, 25 years. So it doesn't make so much difference to me if somebody doesn't ask. Of course, I really feel nice if somebody tells me, how are you? Ask me. You know, if somebody tells us that you are chanting so nicely, you are doing such nice devotional service. You know, we feel so inspired. We feel so inspired to do more. So if we feel inspired, if somebody just gives us a push, so we should make it a point that every day we should inspire others by, you know, glorifying them. This is one of the principles, not only of guest reception, but one of the principle of leadership management also. You know, if I feel so delighted, I feel so nice, you know, when I go to the college and students tell me, or even sometimes, you know, students telling me that I give a nice lecture is not so important. Sometimes one of my lecturers, they sit for my lecture and they say, sir, you teach so nicely. So then, you know, we have just tendency to, you know, go in the air, what we say, go high up on the seventh sky. But then what I do is nowadays, I also reciprocate, you also teach so nicely. Students tell me that they love your lecture. So he also feels nice. So giving a nice feeling, that inspires. So we may not distinguish, we should not distinguish between poor and rich. Definitely the rich people, we give them dignified treatment because they also contribute. But we should see to it that a poor person also is treated so nicely. He should not feel that he is left alone. You know, this is some of the grievances, you know, people come and express, you know, we were sitting there and then devotee came and he went there and then he said Hari Bol and did not say anything at all. You know, people have that sentimental thing. So at least we should try to make up for all that whenever we come in the temple hall, who is sitting, you know. This principle which Srila Prabhupada taught through Rantidev, that he never distinguished between Brahmana, Shudra, poor and rich. So we learning to see everyone with an equal vision. Many times it happens that we go for some program and in that program there are some active members and there are some inactive members. So we normally are fully focused on the active members because they come, they are doing seva and everything. And we don't realize that there are 10-15 inactive people who just come every time, they sit, they go. And we are not interacting with them at all. Because our focus also becomes on, once in a while if we even just try to tap them, say, hello, how are you? I see you are sincerely attending all the lectures. So we feel so nice that somebody, you know, acknowledged. Somebody acknowledged that I am coming, sitting, hearing so nicely. Immediately that changes the heart of that person. There is a connect. And the moment there is a connect, we can transmit the message very nicely, very fast. Next came a guest with the dogs and Rantidev gave away the food to the dogs also. And the best part was his family was not cribbing. His family was also standing by him. They didn't say that Shudra was taken, but we dogs, you know, that means we are lower than dogs. You are, you know, giving them and depriving us of food. And then last came a Chandala who asked for water and that was also given away. And then in the translation, it is written that aggrieved at hearing the pitiable word of the poor Fatik Chandala, Rantidev spoke the following nectarian words. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Maharaj Rantidev's words were like amrit or nectar. And therefore, aside from rendering bodily service to the aggrieved person, by words alone, the king could save the life of anyone who might hear him. Just see the power one gets by sacrifice and serving others. People are most of the time they are scared that I will die. If I give away everything, I will die. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives us hope that if you give away everything for others with a mood of seeing the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart, then what happens is your words become like amrit. Then your words can save life of anyone who will hear your words. That's how the strength comes in a person who serves others. And then, you know, Rantidev, he prayed that I do not pray to the Supreme Lord for 8 perfections, you know, nor salvation. I just pray that I stay among the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf, so that they may be freed from suffering. I want to at this point tell you some difference between the Subhashit and Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a similar Subhashit in this regard, which says that I want to come to the world and serve people life after life. Serve the suffering people life after life. And Srimad Bhagavatam, our acharyas, they say, I want to suffer on their behalf. That's the difference. People when they say, I want to serve those who are suffering, means I don't want to suffer. I am a doctor, I want to wear a PPE kit, and I want to go and serve others and cure them. I don't want to suffer. Of course, that's what doctor should take all care. But I should be fit and fine and I should be suffering others. But a pure devotee says, let me suffer on their behalf. You know, that's a difference between a typical Sanskrit Subhashit, which is, of course, Subhashits are very nice. I'm not criticizing them. Point I'm trying to make is how Srimad Bhagavatam is above all of this. And then Srila Prabhupada talks about Vasudev Dutt. And he says, Vaishnava is para dukkha dukkhi. And the real dukkha is we are forgotten Krishna. And that's why a Vaishnava goes to everyone and tells them that you may appear to be sukhi, but actually because you have forgotten Krishna, you are suffering. And then Rantidev says that all my hunger, thirst, fatigue, everything is gone. I am free from illusion. So basically, if one does charity in the right spirit, that can free one from illusion also. We all want to be free from illusion. And here is an example that when we do it in a proper Krishna conscious way, seeing Lord Krishna in the heart of everyone, that can free us from illusion also. Basically, the risk of doing charity is we may feel I am God. And that is the trap if the charity is not done in the right spirit. And we as Krishna conscious devotees, we are always susceptible to this trap. Because we may give Mahaprasad to somebody, we may give a book to somebody, we may give a Mahagarland to somebody. Again, you know, we have to realign that he is the part and parcel of Supreme Lord and I am trying to serve. Not that I have this Maha with me and I am just giving it away. No. So that whole mood, we understand by this. And then when demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they came before him, Srila Prabhupada writes in the translation that King Rantidev had no ambition to enjoy material benefits from any demigods. Okay, he offered them obeisances because he was factually attached to Lord Vishnu and his mind was fixed on Lord Vishnu. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport ahead that one should accept voluntary inconvenience for the sake of knowing Vasudev, because that is the way of real austerities. And when I was reading this part about austerities, the first thought came to my mind was Dhruva Maharaj, who did austerities. And I was reading through the chapter of Dhruva Maharaj. And sometimes, you know, we do this indirect preaching, time management, then stress management, and then we are criticized that, you know, why you are doing all these motivational seminars and all, why don't you directly preach? But when I read through the entire chapter of conversation between Dhruva Maharaj and Narad Muni, I realized that Narad Muni was a perfect motivational speaker. He, you know, what Dhruva wanted, he wanted kingdom. And what Narad Muni did, you know, he told him to go to Madhuvan, take bath in Yamuna, and slowly, slowly he brought him to Krishna. So at the end, Dhruva Maharaj achieved the kingdom also, but he achieved Krishna also. So I'll just highlight on some parts of how slowly, slowly we can guide people towards Krishna. Of course, the first, when Narad Muni came, confronted with Dhruva, he said, in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for ordinary man. It's very difficult to satisfy. So he tested him. Okay? Prabhupada writes in the purport, so just Narad Muni wanted to see how determined he was to prosecute devotional service. And it's a very, very nice line Srila Prabhupada writes. It is a fact that, however, that for a sincere person, devotional service is very easy. Now I go back to the first point where I started, that we were initially told chant Hare Krishna and be happy. What happened is we lost our sincerity somewhere. Somewhere down the line we lose our sincerity, somewhere down the line we start feeling that we are someone, we start offending maybe. So for a sincere person, devotional service is very easy, but for one who is not determined and sincere, the process is very difficult. Srila Prabhupada says, the process is difficult if somebody is not determined. Of course, we have to thank God that nobody tested us when we came to Krishna consciousness. You know, when we came, you know, we were being pulled, at least those who came from the hostel programs, I don't know how many of you came from the hostel programs, they were literally pulled into the programs. Our Sukhdev Prabhu, Dr. Shankar Savant, I still remember, I was just junior staying in the common room and I was walking through the corridor and he randomly called me, "Hey, idhar aao." And he said, "See, my journal submission is tomorrow. And can you complete my journal?" And that whole journal he had not touched only the whole year. And he said, "Please." And somehow he was humble. I found him very humble. So, and I said, "Okay." So whole night, you know, I was completing his journal. And then he became so obliged, you know, he said, "Are, tumne mera journal kiya." He was from Warkari family, very natural, this thing. And then he left his room and shifted to a better room. So while doing that, he gave the room keys to me. He said, "Mera purana wala room tum le lo. Maha, uska maha room mujhe dekhe." Now I was staying in his room. Now what happened is, moment he shifted into that new room, our ISKCON program that started in that room. And all the Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, everybody used to come. And you know, in college preaching program, in whoever's room the program happens, it's his responsibility to gather the crowd. So it automatically came upon Sukhdev Prabhu to, you know, gather the crowd. So only one member he knew he will not refuse was me. Because he had given me room to stay. So first person used to come and pick me up. He said, "Wo aake baithe hai aur samne koi bhi nahi hai. At least some person should be there. So tu bait karke." So you know, it was, and I was absolutely not interested that time so much. Matlab. But because this person had given me room, I was staying in his room. So I used to go and sit. I remember, I used to latch the room. This fellow used to come from the ventilator. Upar ke ventilator. So once I got up, I said, "Tum andar kaise aaye?" Bole, "Wo ventilator se aaye." So he was so this thing. And then darwaza usne khola, bole, "Chalo." So this is how people are. And I had no interest. My whole interest was that all these devotees used to come on Saturday evening for the program. And that time now there was no cable TV and all. And I remember we used to have only Delhi Doordarshan, And Doordarshan used to show Hindi movie at 5 o'clock. And exactly 5 o'clock these preachers used to come from the temple. So then, you know, we used to think that, okay, interval ke baad dekhenge, uske baad. And exactly the our program where the room, where the programs used to happen were above the TV room. So those friends, you know how it used to happen. My friends used to be going to the TV room and I used to go for the program. So I used to tell them, "Oh, interval ke baad bol dena." So you know, interval ke baad somebody used to come and shout, "Hey, Yuvraj." Then I used to look here and there and I used to go for. This is how I was disinterested. If somebody would have tested me that time, to tested my determination, I would have said, "I'm not at all interested." But Sukhdev Prabhu's determination was there to make me devotee. And, you know, that's how I came into it. And then when we come into Krishna consciousness, initially, initially remember the first days when we came to the temple, how determined we were to achieve Krishna. I give example of our medical students who come to the medical college and they are so determined on day one. We ask them, kya banega? So they will say, cardiac surgeon. Kya banega? Neurosurgeon. I said, bahut. Uske thode din, 6 mahine baad, kya banega? Bole, sir, first year pass ho gaya na. Bahut ho jayega. MBBS banana to bhi, mere ko kuch surgeon, neuro, kuch nahi karne. This is how they become. हमारा भी ऐसा है, वी कम टू कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस डे वन, क्या बनेगा? ध्रुव महाराज. क्या बनेगा? प्रहलाद महाराज. उसके बाद थोड़े साल के बाद क्या बनेगा? अभी 16 माला हो गया है ना रोज, मरते दम तक, लास्ट डे आई डाई इफ आई चैंट माय 16 राउंड एंड फॉलो 4 रेगुलेटिव, मेरे को कुछ नहीं चाहिए. द डे आई डाई पीपल शुड से ही चैंटेड 16 राउंड फॉलोड 4 रेगुलेटिव प्रिंसिपल, मे बी ही वेंट बैक टू गॉडहेड, मे बी नॉट. वो ध्रुव महाराज हो. So, you know, we say that, and then typically after a few years, we start singing that song from, you know, Mera Naam Joker. That song, you know, Jaane Kahan Gaye Wo Din. We all of us remember, Jaane Kahan Gaye Wo Din. It's ecstasy, hum log temple hall mein enter karte. And then, you know, this Mera Naam Joker, na, this movie, same movie has another song, you know, which is a depressing song. So he says, then we, our life also becomes depressing like this. Jina yaha, marna yaha, you know, that is another song. So we also became, abhi iske siwa jana kya, chalo chanting karo. So that is all due to, so we should check whether we have become like that. Kya bhi chal raha hai, chalne do. So what happens? What happens to our utsaha, nishchay and dhairya? If this is what happens to our utsaha, nishchay, dhairya, if we don't boost it every day. We have to boost our utsaha every day, our nishchay every day, our dhairya also every day. Utsaha, of course, is boosted by association of enthusiastic devotees. And that's where sometimes, you know, we should always associate with our juniors also. Because they are relishing their Krishna consciousness so much. You know, that gives us so much. And of course our seniors also. We are somewhere hung in middle. Nishchay is boosted when we hear these stories like Dhruva Maharaj and how they had this determination to, you know, achieve Krishna. So we have to boost our nishchay. We have to boost our dhairya also, that we become, you know, patient. We have this story of the hare and rabbit we always hear. So I compare this with this utsaha, nishchay and dhairya. The first story of hare and rabbit was where, you know, the hare ran enthusiastically. And he said, oh, abhi tumhe itna aage aa gaya. And then he slept. And the tortoise slowly, he won the race. So from our childhood, we were told about this story, ki slow and steady wins the race. Jyada bhagne ka nahi, jyada ghai karne ka nahi. Whenever I tell the story, we of course ignore the part of, nobody told us that this story talks about being patient. Dhairya, which is very important in our Krishna consciousness. That we have to continue. There may be problems, there may be storms in our mind, but that time we remember the first story of the tortoise and the hare and how he just continued. He didn't stop, he didn't take a break, he just continued. Then, you know, the hare realized his mistake. He said, no. I had a problem, so next time he again challenged the tortoise for a race, and this time he ran non-stop, till the finish line, confirmed this is finish line, and then he stopped. So this is the story about utsaha. Utsaha means not stopping our enthusiasm till the point we reach the goal. You know, when we chant intensely, you know, sometimes people, you know, those intense chanters also ask, ki kab tak karne ka? Ya aisa intense chanting kab tak karne ka? So we say ki Golok Vrindavan mein jane tak. Andar jaake confirm karo, Golok, char logon ko puchke, Golok in Golok, Golok. Till that point we have to continue all this we are doing, the different postures while chanting. So utsah, like that hare in the second race, didn't stop. He said rukna hi nahi, enthusiastically kept on running till he won the race. Now comes the third story. In the third story, all of you know the four stories I'm just telling about, relating it to utsaha, nishchay and dhairya. So now the tortoise started feeling ki this way to I'll never going to win. So he again challenged. Then this time when he challenged, he fixed the route of the race in such a way that at end point there was a river. So hare ran up to the end point and then he realized that beyond the river is the end point. So then the tortoise came there and then, you know, he nicely swam and won the race. So that is all about, you know, nishchay. That you decide to win, then you see what is going wrong, what are my strong points, what are my weak points, and then maybe work upon it and then chart a path properly towards our goal. You know, we have to analyze, and rather we should help other devotees to analyze also us. We should ask from them. We don't have that much daring actually to ask somebody that, Prabhuji, can you tell me what wrong I am doing? No, this is, or how can I correct myself? Do we have that much openness to take up criticism? You know, even when somebody tells us that I want to, somebody corrects us, you know, first response from our side is, yeah, I know I went wrong. Actually means, I know means there was no need for you to tell me, I already knew it, but okay, you have told it, that's fine. We just cannot take criticism. So here, this tortoise was there. He was determined. So further conversation between Narad Muni and Dhruva Maharaj. Firstly, he appreciates Suniti. He doesn't criticize her because she had shown him the way. And then he says that one who desires religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end, liberation, should engage in devotional service of the Supreme Lord. So see here, he is kind of motivating him that you want all of this economic development. That's what Dhruva Maharaj wanted. He said, you have to worship the Supreme Lord. Therefore, my boy, I wish all good fortune to you. You should go to the bank of Yamuna, where there is a forest of Madhuvan. So at the same time, understanding what his needs are. His need was that I want a kingdom. He's still diverting him to the spiritual path. And still, even if we go to Madhavan, there is this Dhruva Ghat. And Narad Muni says that, my dear boy, in the water of Yamuna, which is also known as Kalindi, you must take bath daily, because this water is very auspicious, sacred and clear. So you know how he's tricking him slowly, 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 taking Yamuna bath. Now Ganga is the Charanamrit of the Supreme Lord, but Yamuna is the Charanamrit of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, all the gopis, all the gopas. Eternally they are doing their pastimes over there. And that water, he's telling Dhruva to take on him. So that is going to purify his heart. Completely free yourself from material contamination. When somebody tells us free yourself from material contamination, it's very difficult for us immediately to free ourselves. We cannot just take the lust and throw it out of our heart. But at least one thing we can do is we don't contaminate ourselves more. That is one thing at least definitely we can do. And then he says, the Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased. He always is prepared to award benedictions to him. I just want to highlight the line that he is prepared to award benedictions to him. So then now he is telling him that if you take bath in Kalindi and you know you meditate on the Supreme Lord's face, what is going to happen is he can award benedictions to you. So see how this he Narad Muni is such a nice motivational speaker. He is trying to get him slowly, slowly, slowly to Krishna, and that is what we should be doing. And Srila Prabhupada, writes in the verse that in this verse it clearly explains that how one has to meditate on the form of the Lord. Impersonal meditation is a bogus invention in the modern days. None of the Vedic literatures is impersonal meditation recommended. You know, sometimes when I read these purports of Srila Prabhupada, I feel that Srila Prabhupada is giving such a purport to Vyasadev what he has written 5,000 years ago. And Srila Prabhupada writes about in modern days there is this bogus invention of impersonal meditation. So Vyasadev wrote this verse. So Krishna came in the form of Vyasadev and has wrote all these verses. And the same Krishna appeared before Srila Prabhupada and has dictated the purports. So actually the whole Srimad Bhagavatam what we have is the verses written by Krishna in the form of Vyasadev and purports written by Krishna through Srila Prabhupada. And therefore this Srimad Bhagavatam is something which helps us to revive our utsaha, nishchay and dhairya, which we tend to lose. Narad Muni has described Lord Krishna's body in depth. He says his body is bodily hue is deeply bluish. And he is always peaceful, calm, quiet, very pleasing to eyes and to the mind. The reason Narad Muni is speaking like this because Dhruva at this stage was very agitated. We also, although we are doing devotional service, what happens is why this sattva guna, rajoguna, tamoguna, these waves keep on coming, and sometimes we, all of us have experienced this. Sometimes our mind is so peaceful. That's when the sattva guna is at the best. We just get up in the morning. We don't even need the alarm. We switch off the alarm, and then we come to the temple hall, and everything appears ecstatic. And then slowly, slowly, after some days, rajoguna comes in, sometimes tamoguna becomes prominent. And that's how we are struggling in our devotional service. So, getting in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam more and more, getting in contact with enthusiastic devotees, getting in contact with those devotees who are determined, that will help us to understand Lord Vasudev very clearly. At one time, Narad Muni says that very soon, O Dhruva, you will be freed from material contamination. When I was reading this line, I felt Narad Muni is so gentle in his preaching. He didn't say to Dhruva that, Dhruva, you are materially contaminated. He said, you will be freed from material contamination. You know, so how nicely he is using the statements. You know, somebody tells us that you are materially contaminated. Looks, I know I am contaminated, but you telling me, I feel all worse. But Narad Muni says that you will soon be freed from material contamination. So this is how this conversation goes on. And at the end, what happens is, Dhruva Maharaj sees the Lord and loses all his material desires. Now we sometimes feel that we are seeing the Lord, but I am not losing all my material desires. But if we analyze so many years of spending in Krishna consciousness, definitely we have lost so many of our material desires. And some which are there, we are holding on to it. We don't want to leave them. Because that's our own sense gratification which we relish from inside. So therefore when we talk about surrendering body, mind and soul and speech, sometimes this surrendering body and speech is very easy. We may keep on chanting, But the surrender of mind is the most important. And therefore Lord Krishna says, Man Mana Bhavabhatva. Two times Lord Krishna is saying the same verse, one exactly in the middle of the Gita, one at the end of the Gita. He talks about the man. Even before saying the verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, he says, Man Mana Bhavabhatva. He talks about the mind. And nobody is going to come here and check what is going in our mind. We know. We know what is going in our mind. And only we can just throw those thoughts out of our mind. But we are not ready because we are holding on. At least that is true in my case, that, you know, holding on to some of our desires which we don't want to leave. Therefore the surrender of mind is also equally important. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.